Barrington Stage Company's production of Tennessee Williams, The Glass Menagerie, is now in previews and officially opens October 7th with performances through October 21st on the Boyd Quinson main stage. Directed by Julianne Boyd, The Glass Menagerie stars Caitlin O'Connell as Amanda and BSC associate artist Mark Dold as Tom. Tennessee Williams' autobiographical memory play centers on frustrated writer Tom, his mother Amanda, who is fighting for her children's future while lost in memories of her Southern Belle past, and his painfully shy sister Laura. Reality and illusion collide when a rare visit from a gentleman caller upsets the balance of the Wingfield family in one of the greatest American plays of the 20th century. It is a great pleasure to welcome Caitlin O'Connell and Mark Dold to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you both here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi.
Well, how is it going?
Well, we just had our first preview last night, so we're thrilled that that's done.
Yes.
Yeah, that's always a, yeah, suddenly.
Get the first one under out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. Suddenly hundreds of people staring you in the face.
Yeah.
Little daunting, but so relieved that that's past us.
Yeah.
But they were a fantastic crowd, actually.
Yeah.
So talk about the transformation now, a little bit of what happens over the next couple of days before you officially open on the 7th.
Well, we continue to rehearse in the afternoons, technical aspects, fine-tuning acting details. Because, you know, Julie was even saying, Julie Boyd, that is, she now learns so much as she transitions from director to audience member herself. It teaches her a lot about what we're handling well, what we need to still kind of fine-tune, et cetera.
Right. So she'll give us notes. Oftentimes we'll get notes after the show, and then we'll come in the next day and get anything that we weren't able to fit in the night before, and then we'll rehearse. And so we're busy until opening.
And when it's open, it is set, and I assume you feel like, okay, this is what we have.
Yeah, this is what we have. You hope that you do grow. You're not
sure.
You're not stopping there. So you're hoping that you're growing in the right direction. And I don't know, because I have never done a show for Julie before, if she comes back and takes a look at the show.
Yeah, she will definitely come back.
Yeah.
But also with material like this, it demands that you keep probing, keep digging.
Yeah, there's so much in it.
You can't just like kind of clap your hands and say, oh, well, you know, got that.
I understand you have a bit of the show that you are willing to perform for us, if I beg you.
Wow.
And I will beg.
No. I suddenly feel like I'm auditioning for the role again.
So give us the context of this particular piece.
This is, well, I don't know how much I'm supposed to do, so you can stop me whenever you're tired of hearing me.
Well, I don't really feel comfortable with that.
No.
Is there a logical stopping place?
Well, I play Tom Wingfield,
yes,
who operates as a character in the play and also the narrator. So there are several narrations. This is how the show begins. I have tricks in my pocket. I have things up my sleeve. But I am the opposite of the stage magician. He gives you illusion that has the appearance of truth. I give you truth in the pleasant disguise of illusion. To begin with, I turn back time. I take you back to an alley in St. Louis. The time, that quaint period when the huge middle class of America was matriculating from a school for the blind. Their eyes had failed them, or they had failed their eyes, and so they were having their fingers pressed forcibly down on the fiery braille alphabet of a dissolving economy. In Spain there was revolution, here there was only shouting and confusion, and labor disturbances, sometimes violent, in otherwise peaceful cities such as Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit. That is the social background of this play. And then it continues.
Beautiful. It is, that's Mark Dold reading from Tennessee Williams and the production of The Glass Menagerie, which opens officially on the 7th, previews going on now through the 21st on the Boyd Quinson main stage for Barrington Stage Company. And so talk a little bit about these characters. I mean, these are not only just characters, but they're icons of American theater.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about Amanda.
She's a woman who has wound up in a place she never expected to be, greatly reduced circumstances. She is desperate to survive, and that includes her children. She was left by her husband about 16 years before, so she's been scrambling ever since. And she's trying to get her son to help support the family, and he has been doing that. But she wants a commitment for him because the daughter can't stand on her own. And so she's looking ahead and realizing she's not going to be able to do what she's been doing, you know, piecemeal jobs here and there. She's trying to give her daughter a chance at having a life, and it's not happening. And so she spends a lot of time, you know, reliving the past and trying to push her children in the direction she wants them to go.
Tell us about Tom.
It's tricky, you know, because the play is wildly autobiographical, somewhat, contradicting myself. People assume that Tom is Tennessee Williams, but you can't play Tennessee Williams, so I have to look at the circumstances. He is a poet. He is a young man who has been forced into a position of being the provider and the husband, in a weird way, the surrogate spouse in this family, and he is growing up in a world that doesn't support him spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and how can he leave to become what he needs to become and without kind of destroying his family at the same time, without, you know, he knows it's going to be a bit of an abandonment. And how do you, he's wrestling with that. How do you deal with that? Because there's a tremendous amount of love in this family. He loves his sister desperately. I believe he loves his mother with as much ferocity. But it's a world, this world he can't live in.
Yeah, Mom makes it hard. Yeah.
I guess it says a lot about great players. Well, great plays, great playwrights. That I've seen probably, I don't know, a dozen productions of this, and
really?
And everyone's so different, and you get something else out of it. And the way it's been described to me by actors and performers and scholars is this idea of it being a memory play that mm-hmm. that allows there to be some allowing it to be open for interpretation.
Right. That is, in fact, the next line in that speech. The next line is the play is memory.
Yeah. And so we have, you know, the set is not strictly realistic. Tom is out front watching the show when he's not in a scene. We're not using real food. We're not using, you know, utensils. We're not right. pouring liquids. So we've got a...
The set is abstracted as
yeah.
well.
There's
parts are missing. Things mysteriously glow. We have a live musician with us on stage. It's abstract.
So hopefully people will see it, recognize it for what it is, and then go with it and accept it.
Something I do want to add, too, though, what I found, and especially last night in front of an audience, it's also, believe it or not, very funny.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I think, you know, people could think, oh, boy, Tennessee Williams, you
oh,
know,
no.
Southern
That's
drawls, here we go. But
I mean, he'll sock it to you eventually.
Oh,
but...
boy, yeah.
yeah.
But he does that so masterfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a lovely, it's such a beautiful work. And I'm interested in the abstract nature because I've seen it done very abstractly. I've also done it where you're in a living room that looks like, you know, the one you grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And the feelings that come out of it are very different. But it just lends itself to
yep.
to that type of different interpretation?
Yeah, we have a little bit of both in a way. Julie Boyd was talking about, too, you know, when you dream and when you think back in dreams, there are just little snapshots, little fractured things that you remember. There's like a plate on the table, but the fork and the knife aren't there.
Right.
So that's the way we've approached it.
And the different time frames, too, of who could be there at that time or who couldn't be there at that time. I mean, it doesn't have to make sense in a chronological sense.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
We had a discussion at one point in rehearsal about what day it was.
Yes.
Because there's a scene that happens when Tom comes home very inebriated, and then the next scene the next day, they were saying, okay, well, this is the next day. And I said, no, it can't be the next day. It has to be, because there's a certain point in time, Amanda stops talking to Tom. And that has to have happened a while for them to then have a conversation to break the silence. So I don't know whether the audience will understand that it isn't the next morning, say, from one scene to another.
And it's interesting, too, because, you know, Tennessee Williams was trying to do something else with play structure. He was trying to kind of get rid of Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. So it is, in fact, kind of this ballet of eight scenes.
Yeah.
And they are all, in their own way, beautiful one-act plays that
yeah.
can truly stand on their own.
Yeah.
And there are, yes, yeah, so there are time gaps. There are very specific shifts between them. It doesn't just kind of flow
no, and you're not,
traditionally.
You're not told. I mean, there are certain clues in each scene, but it's not mapped out for you. There's not a course that you're completely aware of.
It's, and I'm going to say the most like obvious thing, but you know, you have classics for a reason. This is just such a great piece of theater. I mean, it's just crackling and great.
I actually think this is his great masterpiece. I know there's Cat on the Hudson Roof. I know there's Streetcar. But without this play needed to be a success for him, I think.
Yeah.
He was
yeah,
exorcising demons from his own life, his sister's, you know, lobotomy, etc. And if this play was not a success, I don't know if he would have been able to continue to write. And because of this play, we have the other plays. And you also see how ideas from his other plays come from this one. I really believe The Gentleman Caller, in a strange way, shows up again as Brick in Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. And different little things. You see the seeds of his work to come. But this one, truly, I believe it's his masterpiece.
It's a beautiful piece of work, and the Barrington Stage Company production is just so beautiful, and it's all and previews now, and then officially opens on October 7th with performances through the 21st of October. It happens on the Boyd Quinson main stage. You can find out more information by going to barringtonstageco.org, barringtonstageco.org. My thanks to both Caitlin O'Connell and Mark Dold.
Thanks, Joe.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. barringtonstageco.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.